The real problem in my mind is if man can perceive to the finest degree of the relative in cosmic consciousness, and the Creator is in that finest level of the relative, what's going to stop that man from seeing the Creator? Shouldn't he be able to see him whenever he would like to?
It is the clear perception of the celestial life that transforms the vision into that value. It is the perception of the details of that level. And perception of the details of that level means whatever is the quality of life in that region. And the quality of life in that region is celestial. If we don't want to use the word God and celestial, even then we can explain that state of consciousness just by saying that the finest level of relative existence is most precious, most glorious, most fascinating, and therefore the vision in the world becomes most fascinating as the vision through a golden glass instead of a vision through the green glass. We don't have to go into God consciousness and celestial, which may take the modern physicist to some imaginary levels of mystical experience. Because when you say celestial, the physicist or the scientist say, this is that old story of angels and gods and all that. This is unintelligent in the world of today, because we can't connect it with this. And then we avoid these words and say, yes, gross state of creation, subtle state of creation, subtlest, the finest relative creation. And as we go to the finer layers of experience, the experience is more charming, more fascinating, more laudable, more graceful, more better and better. Best type of experience, most fascinating, most charming in the finest level of creation. And then, having earned that capacity of finest vision in the relative, when we come out into the gross, we enjoy the gross creation in that, with that finest ability of perception. That finest ability of perception is like viewing things through golden glass. We put on a golden glass and we have improved our ability of perception. Like that, when we have perceived that finest relative creation, finest relative field of life, then as if we have put on the golden glass. With that golden glass, when we see the world, our world as we have been viewing before will now be viewed in that light. That is finest relative state of waking state of consciousness. Like that, completely avoiding the word celestial and God, we can explain the most fascinating level of consciousness in the waking state. That might be the explanation, may be useful in all the atheistic countries where the word of God is a horror. and God consciousness means you are out of that country. So, therefore, transcendental meditators can always have a very safe ground everywhere. Whether you are talking to the believers of God or lovers of God or non-believers, whatever. We can use a phraseology, we don't have to go into
If a man attains God consciousness and supreme knowledge in this life.
Frame the sentence that when all men will gain God consciousness. Not if a man gains, but when all men will gain God consciousness. Well, soon, within a few years, then what is going to happen?
Then after we have attained God consciousness and the supreme knowledge, the span of our life is limited. So the enjoyment which we experience in that state is limited to the lifespan of this machinery of experience. And it is difficult to imagine that when the machinery ceases, that the enjoyment which is based on the functioning of this machinery should continue, because in the absolute there is no relative.
Now,
it might be even more charming to someone to aim at, instead of experiencing the world of man on the celestial level, to go to the celestial level and live there a million years in the company of God.
This is the question of a scientist initiator. This is the value of this age. We are not satisfied by some time enjoyment of God consciousness. What we want is, if possible, all time enjoyment of God consciousness. This leads me to clarify one more point, and it's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. Now, what happens is, the transformation from God consciousness to cosmic consciousness. We have just now discussed that the God consciousness is this experience of the celestial along with the experience of the pure consciousness, celestial and pure. Living God consciousness for some time, as we have already discussed, the borderline of the two becomes clearer. I said, the mechanics of nature, which are responsible for the difference between the absolute and the celestial, become clear. With that clarity of nature between the two, what dawns to our mind? This long-lived celestial is nothing but this eternal absolute. This is unity. That experiencing these two levels for some time, when these two levels become a living reality in God consciousness, and we have been living them for some time, then it becomes clear that this level and this level, they are not two different levels. In reality, open to that fine perception, this is this. What has happened? It has become clear that the longevity of celestial is nothing but the eternity of the Absolute. That means, what has become clear? How the eternity is found in the state of longevity, and how longevity is nothing but eternity. One is nothing but the other. This reveals to the intellect the mechanics of nature which are responsible to transform longevity into eternity. A long-lived span of life into immortality. There is that secret of gaining immortality even on the physical level. The whole mechanics become clear. Just as in the chemical action, one atom gets into the other and the other gets into this, they form a molecule. Now once we have seen how this, the interaction takes place, this and this and this. In the play of finer particles, how one breaks into the other and how the other gets into the other. Once we have known this, how this is formed from this and this, then we have known the mechanics of transformation. And this mechanics of transformation is not only known on the theoretical level of understanding, but it becomes a living reality. The entire mechanics, how the longevity is transformed into eternity, how the eternity is seen as the longevity, how the Absolute is seen as the relative, and the relative is nothing but the Absolute. Once the relative is nothing but the Absolute, means the transformation of the relative into the Absolute, the mechanics become clear. And with this mechanics, it becomes possible to retain the body as long as we want. Desire or no desire is a different phase of consideration. But the ability. But the ability. When we know how the sap is transformed into the petal, and when this becomes a living reality, this or that, that or this, this could be transformed into that, that could be transformed into this, doesn't matter. Because then the whole mechanics is a vivid, clear expression on the level of living. And there on that level, immortality could be cherished. Even with the human body, we don't have to go to the angels. We don't have to go to the angels to have the, because whether this earthly body or the angelic body may be a difference of million years, but after a million years it's going to extinguish. Maybe after 100 years this is going to die. And then maybe if we take the angelic body, it will last for a million years. But then what will happen after a million years? The story about this is, the truth about this is, that this in this form could be maintained forever. Could be maintained forever. Who would desire for it?
I mean, it's the other way around. I mean, you can't make something which is relative will remain relative, even though you know the mechanics whereby the absolute is
means
transformed.
Eternal means until the time of creation, no? Until the time of dissolution it could continue.
Well, that would mean...
The objection is, when the state of unity is not on the level of living, then how this transformation is possible? But the answer is that once the mechanics become clear, they could be used. When the mechanics become clear, they could be used. Now, even now, the body has been changing. Body of the boy and the youth and the old and this and this. Doctors say, I don't know what it is. About 7 years the whole thing changes, no? Is that something like that? In about 7 years every cell changes and the whole thing is renewed. That means the eternity could be maintained with all the change. Every 7 years change continues, and it could continue till the time of dissolution comes. So the change will not stop. Absolute doesn't mean that the change will stop, but now there is some little thing, no? That means the relative will remain relative, and change will continue in the relative, but through continuous change it could continue till eternity. Not that the changing relative body will just freeze into non-changing absolute, but in its changing character it could continue to keep on changing, and in that sense it could continue till eternity. That means, on the level of living, there will yet be a change, and yet on the level of life, the change could continue till eternity. That much a little bit, huh? It could be possible.
Can a God-conscious person beget children, or does he become like a roasted peanut, unable to germinate?
What is that?
unable to germinate. I'm asking this for someone who was good, didn't want to ask it. So
is it in German or what?
No. Can a God-conscious person beget children, in other words, have children, or does he become like a roasted peanut, unable to discriminate?
Is Is that all the question? Something more to it?
No. Thought you wrong.
God conscious person, there is no specific pattern of what he will do and how he will be and all that. He will be what he wants to be. He could sit in a place and see no one and close the door and that's it. Or he could go around and be a businessman and fly in the jets or do whatever he wants to do. Only that whatever he wants to do, he'll be able to do more easily. What is it?
I've been very worried about something. That is that if we gain cosmic consciousness and merge with the Absolute, then we're giving up any chance for relative life from now on till, I guess, the dissolution of the Earth or something. Why is that so good? I mean, why is that superior to staying in some kind of a relative field, whether it's earthly or celestial?
We don't lose our earthly status in cosmic consciousness.
No, I'm talking about after death.
Oh, after death. We don't talk of after death.
Why not?
Because it doesn't concern us in the present.
Well, I mean, it seems to me unnatural to... he's talking about roasted seeds, but, I mean, if we're... if... why should we roast ourselves? Isn't that unnatural in some way? Trees don't do it.
We don't roast ourselves. What we roast is the possibility of suffering. We roast our stress and strain and anxieties and suffering. We remain intact, unroasted. What is roasted is the seed of suffering. Suffering is roasted, is rooted out, and then we remain permanently in happy mood. Bliss consciousness means permanent happy mood. So it's better to live in permanent happy mood. Is it not?
I don't know.
It's better. Better to live in permanent state of happy mood rather than sometimes unhappy and sometimes worried. No, it's not good.
Was this the purpose of the creation, was to make us dissolve back into the Absolute someday anyway?
Dissolve, when we say dissolve back to Absolute, then we mean extinction. But the same meaning can be expressed in the word that we live in bliss consciousness, permanent happy mood, living bliss in bliss consciousness means dissolving back into the absolute. But the expression is a little bit more misleading on the surface. It means that, so what we do in cosmic consciousness is create a state so that bliss consciousness will be permanently and naturally lived. Naturally and permanently. Bliss consciousness, and that is very good to have a happy mood all the time.
Well, how can it be natural if it's not found in nature? I mean, we're really doing a lot of work.
Is it found in nature? Bliss consciousness is found within us, in our own nature. Our own inner nature is bliss consciousness. That's why we say it's very natural.
But the union between the two isn't natural.
Union between the two is also natural, because we have experienced in meditation, without doing, just naturally the mind goes and transcends and be it. So even the process of union, the method which brings about the union of the two is natural. It's very natural.
I'm concerned about the connection between desire and anger, and also the necessity for desire to produce anger when one is not in cosmic consciousness.
For the fear or the waves of anger, I close my eyes.
One question has to do with, why doesn't the flow of desire in the mantra encounter another flow which would collide with it and produce anger? And on the other hand, why don't we just naturally compute our flows of desires and other things so that there are never any collisions in the first place?
We could close our eyes and meditate. We'll take these questions tomorrow, otherwise you'll be late for your... We'll meditate for a few minutes before going.